I really have trust tattooed on my stomach because I always trust my gut, bro. Like, literally, no matter what, like, I've been in so many situations where my gut has saved literally so many situations, man. And anytime you go against it, you learn, you know? And, like, literally, bro, and that's the feeling.
Southwest Florida is one of the most beautiful places on the planet to live. For those of you that are thinking of moving from other states to come to Florida, or even just moving to a different part of the state, I want you to think of a big, beautiful, luxury home. Contact Legacy Luxury Builders. They are a family-owned and operated luxury residential construction company. As a family-owned business, they believe in the power of building not just homes, but legacies. Contact Legacy Luxury Builders. The nightmare of feeling like you'll never measure up, of constant second-guessing and self-doubt. It eats away at you and destroys your confidence. I've been there too, feeling like I didn't belong on the field with my teammates. But it doesn't have to stay that way. I used to compare myself to everyone around me. I thought that no matter how hard I worked, I'd never be as good as the other guys. It killed my self-belief. I now help athletes develop an elite mindset so comparison no longer controls them. We teach techniques to cut out the negative self-talk and unlock their full potential. Imagine stepping into the box when it counts the most and feeling totally confident in your ability, feeling invincible instead of insecure, ready to seize the opportunity instead of shrinking from it. That's the mindset I help athletes develop. Don't waste another minute on comparison and self-doubt. Take control of your mindset and become the confident, unstoppable competitor you were meant to be. DM or comment below to get started with Edge and transform your mental game. What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode. I am your host, Sean French, and today I have with me something new for you guys. I believe it's a true treat. I have an electrifying performing artist who is from Columbus, Ohio, who is known for selling out all his local shows in Columbus and Ohio statewide, but also has gained major interest and major fans in other key markets. He has an album dropping on the 18th or the 15th, I believe, coming up here really quickly. So we're here with my boy Crash Minotti. And hey, man, welcome to the show, buddy.
Man, thanks for inviting me, man. It's a pleasure.
Bro, I'm excited to have you here, dude. Like, I haven't had a performing artist on yet, and it's exciting for me.
Yeah, like I've been like I'm excited because I just recently started getting into the whole actually like tapping into podcasts and different mm-hmm. things like that, bro. And once I seen the Determined Society, I knew I would have the chance to actually come on here and speak, man. I was really excited about it, you know. And I really couldn't wait for real because it's something that I've just recently actually just like really gotten into, bro. And I love the message you're putting out and everything you're doing. So
I'm thank you, bro. Thank you. You know, the crazy thing about my show is that no matter what you're doing, whether you're an entrepreneur, a performing artist like yourself, an athlete, there's always some mental journey that comes along with everything that we're doing, right? The rise and the obstacles, the adversity. So I'm just super stoked to have you on equally, man. And when Justin brought you to me, I thought this was a great opportunity to expand my scope because I looked at it. I'm like, man, this might be tough. This might be hard for me, right? But I'm thinking like, well, hell yeah, this is good then, you know, because I want to be able to expand my knowledge base and expand, you know, my abilities right here on my show. And dude, I'm just super jacked. So why don't you, for a quick moment, for the audience that doesn't know you, give a brief, I guess, bio into your background, who you are, and everything that you've gone through on the come up so far.
My name is Crash Minotti with the K. I got into music, really like recording music and taking it seriously, like right after high school. I started making music in high school. I was in a group called Guru Gang. That's kind of where we all started for real. But I've just progressed like, you know, over the time. I was in another group called the Minotti Boys. I'm from Columbus, Ohio, 29 years old. I make movies. I just directed, produced, and wrote my first film last year called Tears for Tasha. I pretty much, you know, I'm one of those artists that do it all. You know, I feel like I'm a jack of all trades, you know. I don't think I'm, you know, like I I don't say I'm the best at any one thing, but I do say I'm at least good at everything.
Dude, that's important, man. I think one of the things, man, I look at myself like that too. You know, some people will argue it's better to be great at one thing than really good at a lot of other things. And I always like to think about that and challenge it, bro, because it's like, wait a second, man. Like, I don't know. So I have a lot of things going on in my life right now that are indicative of the fact that I'm just dynamic in my skills. And if I'm only good at one thing or great at one thing, then there's a lot of revenue or income streams that I don't have because of that. So, dude, what was it like, right? You know, let's get down to it, because I know a lot of people, you know, have questions about recording artists and what their life is like and how it is, you know, writing a song, producing it, creating it and putting it out there. What does that entail for you?
It does. It entails a lot of being open, you know, you kind of have to be vulnerable in some form or way, at least with the type of music that I tend to make. Sometimes it takes a sense of vulnerability because I'm really putting it all out there, especially this tape. I'm dropping a tape called That's What I'm Here For, March 15th. So I'm really being very vulnerable and like kind of opening up and telling my real side of the story. You know, sometimes I feel like as an artist, we get trapped into staying in one lane, you know, and giving the people what they want to hear, you know, and trying to beat the algorithm and doing this and doing that. And I feel like that's kind of taken away from artistry nowadays, you know, because back then it was just what do I have to do to be an artist? Nowadays it's what do I have to do to beat this algorithm, you know? Mm. And I kind of try to stay on the path of I'm an artist. You know, it's okay. You feel me? They may not like this, but you're an artist. You feel me? You're going to make something else that they may, you know, like next time, you know?
So, yeah.
And that's the vulnerability part, you know? It's kind of never knowing. Are they going to like it? Is this when you fall off? Is this when you know?
Yeah, like, I do feel you, man. I do feel you. It's interesting. And I want to interject real quick because I'm listening to you and you can see me smiling, right? And if people, audience right now listening on Apple or Spotify or whatnot, you can't see my face. I'm completely invested in what Crash is saying right now, because what I just realized is like, dude, me and you are not too far off. We're alike, man. We're artists in different genres. I'm still an artist, right? I mean, I feel that being a show host is an, you have to be an artist, you know, and everything I put out there, you know, I'm sitting there myself and saying, okay, I'm not going to stay in one lane. I'm an eclectic individual. And it took my show a long time to kind of gain that, excuse me, I guess that momentum, because of the fact that I didn't want to chase the clicks. I didn't want to chase the algorithm, and I will never fucking do that. I'm never going to do it. I'm going to be me. And I just want to acknowledge you here on the show early on and say thank you for your authenticity, because a lot of other artists would sell out. So can you talk to the audience a little bit about that mindset, man? Because that's a tough line to kind of be like, all right, well, am I going to straddle this thing or am I going to hop over on each side? How did you deal with that decision-making process? I mean, and here's what I mean by that. I'm sure the decision was simple. Like, deciding is always simple. Executing is hard. So walk us through that.
I feel like I'm kind of, I can't speak for everyone, but I know like my mindset about this whole thing has kind of was kind of led to, you know, my happiness in it and being able to stay happy throughout it all, is because I've always been the type of person to believe like everything happens for a reason, you know? So Even if this happens, I know it's for a reason. And it's up to me to try to decide, you know, like, what do I learn from that? What am I going to take from this situation to better the next one? You know, and I feel like a lot of the times as an artist, you neglect that part. You feel me? You take failures personally. But at the end of the day, you know, it's not personal, you know. It's, you're an artist, you know, we're sensitive about our shit, you know, that's, you know, that's the same, but like, really though, you know, our artists, we're sensitive about it, because we actually put our hearts and souls into this thing. But once I think you kind of, once you separate, you know, other people's feelings to, you know, to your artwork, it kind of becomes, it's easy, you know. You know, it's not that I don't care, but I know what I do this for. You know, it's not for necessarily you to like it. I mean, I'm doing this because I have to get it out. I'm an artist. This is how it comes out. And the fact that you guys, you know, and other people can agree and, you know, feel the way that I feel, man, it's a blessing. And I, you know, I love it.
No, dude, I love your vibe, man. I love the fact what you're saying is, you know, things happen for a reason. You know, life's happening for me, not to me. And, you know, to your point, though, on failure, it is very difficult, right? It is very difficult, especially when you get started, to deal with those failures and not take them personally, because this shit's coming from your soul, dog. Like it, you know, and just like my brand, when I started it, when I would, you know, put something out there and I'd get 25 listens, it crushed me. It crushed me. It's like, wow, you know, like I know I suck right now, but I don't suck that bad. Like, come on. Like, can I get 60 listens? Can I get 60 downloads? And, you know, now we're, you know, exponentially, you know, more every single episode. But I think it's just because I stayed the course, man. And a lot of people, you know, will take those failures. And I want to stick on failure right now, right? Because I just feel like there's a negative connotation around failure. Right. And I think we need to continue to bring to light that anything that you're doing in this world, you should be seeking failure first. Right. That's how you learn. It's an opportunity. Just like when you're lifting weights, you know, they say you're not going to grow unless you go to failure. Right. But we all want to make it easy. And so then there's no change in our bodies. Our careers and our artistry is no different. So this is a question that I want to ask you, because I think it's going to help people out. And whether, you know, they're listening now and they're a recording artist or they're a business person or businesswoman, when you're starting out early and you're having an exponential amount of failure, how did you personally forge on with the courage and the determination and not allowing maybe some of those limiting beliefs kind of control your actions?
You love it. And you just, you know, you feel me? Like, I've always had like an undying faith, like an unwavering faith that I knew one day I'm going to change the world in some way. I still all the way don't feel like I've done it yet, but I've never, you know, even when I failed, I know it's coming. You feel me? And I've always I've truly, honestly believed that, you know, and it just so happened that I got into music. You know, it was kind of crazy how it happened, because I thought I was going to play football, you know, but I had knee surgery when I was 12. So, you know, I started thinking around that time, like, man, how long am I going to last? You know, my knee be hurting now. I'm 13, 14 years old, like having to wrap my knee up. And I'm sitting there like, man, I don't know. Is this what I'm going to do? You know, so it was like around, like, I think I was my sophomore year, I really started getting into making music or whatever. But, to get back to your question though, where was I at? I started talking about football.
No, it was more of like, you know, how did you stay on path when all the failure was coming early, right?
That was the thing, man. I feel like I've always honestly really believed, you know, you have those moments where you're like, man, do I, or should I, maybe I should be doing something else. And that, you know, that's what kind of took me to doing these other things, man. And kind of never really focusing on one thing. I always wanted to be like, okay, well, let me go. I know I'm good at least this too. Let me go try to do this. Let me go make a movie. Let me try to make a singing song. I mean, I've never sung before. Well, let me try to put it out and see if they're like, I don't know. You know, because you never really know. And I've always believed that, you know, one day, it may not be today, may not be tomorrow, but one day I'm going to do something that's going to change the world. And I've always believed it. And I don't, like, you know, when you're a kid and they ask you, what do you want to, you know, do when you grow up? I used to be like, it was football for a long time, you know, and then eventually just like change the world. That was what I always used to say, is to change the world. Because I didn't really know anymore. Mm. Like, I don't know. I'm going to change the world. And,
you know, that's interesting, because, you know, when I was growing up, I was going to be a Major League Baseball player. That's the only thing that I wanted to do. And then when that identity was dead, when that version of Sean died, I didn't know who I was. You know, I had this big identity crisis. In fact, I'm doing a TED talk in about, gosh, less than 2 weeks, on the identity crisis of athletes transitioning from sport to the, you know, to the real world. Extremely nervous about it, by the way. I don't know if I have my shit together. I think I do. What I do know though is I'm on that stage for a reason. And when I get up there, I'm going to rise to the occasion, period. End of story. The one thing I will say, man, is the whole thing about changing the world, right? There's a lot of people that say it, but then there's a lot of people that take action and, you know, are attempting to do it. You know, you're one of those dudes. I'm one of those dudes. You know, for me, right now where I'm at is I'm not talking about changing the whole world. I want to make a huge impact in athletes and public figures, because what happens is those individuals are viewed upon as good or bad or amazing or GOAT based on their performances, whether they're an actor, actress, celebrity, you know, recording artist, country singer, baseball player, it doesn't matter. I'm on the mission to show people that all of these people are exactly that. They're human beings, right? And what they're doing is just something that they do, right? And I think it's important to talk about that really quickly. Like, you know, I would imagine that you know who you are outside of artistry. Would that be accurate?
Oh yeah, 1,000%.
Who?
My mom has always told me, like, you know, Crash Menotti is one person, but don't forget who Sherrod Pollard is, you know?
Exactly, and,
you know,
man.
And that always stuck with me, you know? And like, so I know when I, you know, Crash Menotti is a character, you know? I've mm-hmm. been Crash, you know, I got the name in high school, so not like I just made it up or anything like that, but like, yeah, it is different. You know, sometimes when you get too trapped into that, you know, that's kind of how you can separate the failures from, you know, taking them personally. Though, okay, you know what? This is Crash Menotti. They like, you know, this is what they want from Crash Menotti. Crash Menotti has to do these things. Sherrod Pollard has to do these things. Sherrod Pollard has to call mom. You feel me? Because he knows, you know, Sherrod Pollard has to, you feel me, pay bills. You know, Crash Menotti might not give a shit about anything. You feel me? That's Crash Menotti. But, you know, you have to be able to separate those.
That's a good point. You know, I think people just in general want to do big things in the world, right? Because I think that it's innate in us. Like, we know we're here for something bigger, right? Do you remember that moment, that exact moment when you were destined to do more than what you were currently doing? And if so, can you talk about it a little bit?
The exact moment I was destined to do more than I was currently doing. I honestly don't think it was one exact moment. It was kind of like a conglomerate of moments, like a multitude of things that kind of led me to believe, like, all right, you know, maybe it's not this, you know, or maybe it's, you know, I don't know. I've always been the type of person, my grandma used to say, don't do anything wrong because I pray that you get caught. Yeah, man, I didn't get it back then.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't get it back then. You feel me? I'm like, why would you pray that I get caught?
And so you learn. And,
you know, so you learn, you know, and I'm just one of those people who things, you know, just happen to. You feel me? And I always remember, you know, my grandma told me, oh no, I got a praying grandma. You feel me? Mm-hmm. She's praying. You feel me? Like, either way that it goes, you know? So I feel like, I don't know, but I've always just had so much support from my family and like from everybody. And they've always kind of told me that I was going to be more, you know, and that I was going to do more. And they instilled it in me at a young age. You know, I'm so blessed and grateful for my family. My mom, my dad, literally like, everybody, my entire family. Like, I have a great family. So,
dude, that's big.
I don't think it was just one thing, but kind of when I will say this. When I thought, you know, football was it for me. When I did have that first knee surgery, that was when I kind of started feeling like, what do I do that's better, that's going to be better than football? Yeah. What can I do?
Yeah.
You know, like, and I didn't have it in my mind, but I went to one of my friend's house one day, and we were all in the basement. His name was JV. He started, him and Doobie were making a song. And I actually went there in Tyrell. I actually went there, and they were making a song, and we were kind of like clowning on them about their song or whatever. So we started rapping in the background. They're like, man, y'all might as well get on the song then. I mean, so we ended up getting on the song, and everybody was like, bro, you need to do this. Like, this is what you do. Like, Jamie's like, bro, get in the studio. It's time for you. Like, look, this is what we do. You come get in the studio. And from that point, it was like, it was something else that was like effortless for me. And I didn't really have to try. So I kind of knew then that I was like, you know what? I think I can take this to the next level. No, but that, you know, that was like one of the moments where I'm like, you know what? I can do this, you know.
That's the moment. That's the moment.
Yeah, that was, you know,
you guys listen, and I pulled that shit out of him. He didn't want to go. He went there. He found it, you know. And it's important, right? When your boys say that, like, you got to do this. Did you immediately subscribe to the thought, or did you fight it a little bit?
What, you kind of cut out for a minute. The thought of what?
Did you immediately go all in when they were saying, like, hey, you should do this? Or did you think about it and try to talk yourself out of it?
Well, these are my friends, you know, they were my homies. So like, I was going to be around them like somewhere anyway. So, I don't know, like it kind of built like a camaraderie. So it wasn't hard for me, you know, like, and I, you know, I trusted their opinion. So when they say like, yo, you're snapping, yeah, that's something that made me feel good. All right, I'm coming back. So it wasn't really hard for me. And then, my brother Ivy, he used to tell me all the time, like, yo, you're different, you know, like
that's important, man, to have that level of trust and vulnerability in the people in your circle, whether it's your parents, your grandma, your boys, girlfriend, or whatever, it doesn't matter. Right. If you can sit there and trust what they're saying and knowing like, okay, it's on, like that person would never lie to me. For me, my person that does that for me is my wife. If I'm doing something and I'm like, hey, is this good? Is this, yeah, it's good. Oh, no. Let me reframe it. Is it me? Like, do I do this? Like, is this great? Because I'm not putting anything out there that's not great. At least have some substance to where it can help somebody. I don't do mindless bullshit, right? And she's that person to me is just like, hey, this is fantastic. Continue to move forward, right? Or if she says like, don't know if you want to go there, then I'll listen. I'm like, okay, cool. Right. Cause she knows me best. I need that. But like when I was contemplating this, doing this, obviously my wife's the first person I called because it's almost like my brain exploded in the car. And I was driving down the interstate heading to work one day. And that was the moment for me. Of course, like, again, there is a whole bunch of other micro moments that led to that macro moment. But I said, hey, this is what I'm thinking. Please tell me I'm crazy and just to go to work and shut up. She goes, no, I don't think you're crazy. I think you're spot on. I think that you're a very talented person. And if this is something that you set your mind to, you're going to be one of the greats. I was like, yeah, okay, I'm going to do it. And so then I did it. And you know, at the beginning, it didn't feel very great. I remember sitting in the, and you know, recording my first show, I was just using my iPhone. And I was talking in circles and it was just the dumbest thing ever. And then after that, it ended up being in my car after a workout. Like I ran my show out of my car the first 30 episodes. I mean, I don't know, 25 episodes. And so when someone tells me they can't do it because they don't have X, Y, and Z, I call bullshit on them. I'm like, nah, man, you just don't want to fucking do it. Right. If you wanted to do it, you would just do. So like for me, you know, having that person and those people in my life, they're going to tell it to me straight, right? Because they have my best interest in mind. Like, I got to listen right away. Now, I'm going to preface it. She's listening now. There's some things in this business I do not listen to her on. She's been right about 95% of the time, but I'm always going to chase feel, right? If I can feel something and I feel it's still okay, nobody can get me off of it. There's like zero anybody can say like, hey, I don't think that's good. You know, how are you on feel? Like, do you go off of feelings? You do?
1000%, man. I literally have I literally have trust tattooed on my stomach because I always trust my gut, bro. Like literally no matter what, like I've been in so many situations where my gut has saved me. Literally so many situations, man. And Anytime you go against it, you learn, you know?
Dude.
And like literally, bro, and that's the feeling, you know, like I never go against, like I always trust my feeling, whatever my gut's telling me, you know, and it could be just the most random things, bro. Like I've walked into studios before and I'm just like, I don't feel like recording here. I walk out, you know, and then I just find out something happened later on or anything, you know?
Yeah.
And like, I've just learned over time, bro. Like I'm 29 now and I realize when you do not trust your gut, you know, you learn, you know?
Well, dude, they call it your second brain for a reason. Like there's some type, I'm not a scientist, I'm not a biologist, but I know there's a reason they say, trust your gut. That's your intuition. Like that is your second brain. It's strange to me. I should probably dig down. I should probably find an expert on that and have them on the show because, I mean, everybody says, trust your gut, but nobody understands why. And I'm going to tell you, like, when I feel something, when I'm thinking about something, and I feel like this weird warm feeling, like, I don't do it. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Intuition, bro. Yeah.
Dude, and you can feel it physically.
Literally.
It's crazy to me, man. It's crazy.
That's like it's our natural defense mechanism or something, you know, like somehow like it's some type of way, but that's the, we're made up of, you know, like atoms, you feel me? That like we're moving particles just like we are, like how the world is the same. Like that's what we are, you know? So it's like every vibe, every motion, every like literally we're made up of mostly water, whatever they say, you know? So it's like, the feeling of waves are real. They really move throughout the air. You know, I'm no scientist or anything either, you know, so I'm just, you know,
that's how I perceive
them. Yeah. Now I like, you know, measurements of my, you know, my way of knowing what it means, you know, like literally the waves are real. Like we can't see them, but they're real.
You energy, know, like, bro. It's a frequency.
Yeah, it's the energy. Like that's why music makes you feel certain ways.
Yep.
You know, people tell me all the time, like, oh, your voice just makes me feel some type of way. Like it's a certain decibel, you know, once you reach a certain decibel, it gives you a certain feeling, you know?
Bro, I'm not going to lie, dog. I have to interrupt you. Like people are going to go crazy because we both have phenomenal voices. To the audience, I apologize to you because we're putting you through some shit right now because these are some two good voice dudes right here. So my bad. Yeah, my likewise, bad. Bro. Yeah, you know, them poor people listening right now. They don't know what to do. All the vibes, bro. All the energy.
All the vibes, bro.
My bad, dude. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Nah. You're good, bro. Literally. Your voice is beautiful.
Yours too, man. I absolutely love it. Like, I wasn't joking. When we talked the first time, I want you to do a song for my show.
I got you. Literally, I'm doing it after we get off today.
Like, bro, like, hype, like, dude. I can't wait. I booked
a couple of hours after we get off here. So I got you.
Bro, that'd be sick, man. That'd be sick. I'd be grateful and blessed. I wanna ask you, questions I wanted to ask you. So I want you to, you know, we're coming down towards the back, you know, 18, 20 minutes of the show before we land the plane here. And I want to talk about, that's what I'm here for, right? I want to hear about the album. You're dropping it on the 15th. Right. And that's why we're, you know, wanting to get this out there quick. You know, I want this out here so people can, you know, go and see the relevance and snag that thing. Talk to me about the process of this album and what you're most proud of and, you know, maybe some of the adversities that you went through in creating it.
Well, this entire album is kind of like, I was signed to a label for the past six, 7 years. This is actually the first project that I've released that isn't under that label, you know? And, you know, of course there's been like hardships and things going on that, you know, like the fans and the supporters, you know, we just haven't put out there and let them know about. But, you know, I just started, you know, No Breaks Records. So this is the first time I feel like people are actually getting to know what I've been going through personally, like my side of the story. Like, why is it? People ask me all the time, why is it that you aren't bigger than what you are? You know, and that's a weird question to ask somebody, you know, when it's like,
but people think it, dude. But I've listened to your shit. Like I'm thinking it's a compliment, bro. You know what I mean? It's a compliment.
It is a compliment.
I hear it all the time. Like, bro, like
it is a compliment, you know. And I feel like in this album, I kind of explain that in a sense, you know, like each song is kind of like, okay, this is what I've been going through. This is where my mind state is at. This is where, you know, that's what I'm here for. You know, sometimes, you know, you feel like you're not in the right place, but that's what you're there for. You know, you can't forget. You feel me? Once I realize, you know, sometimes you feel like you're out of place. Sometimes you feel like you're not where you're supposed to be. Sometimes you feel like you're just, you're unappreciated. You know, you feel like you're left out, but that's what I'm here for. You know, me taking on that feeling and me being able to be strong enough to, you know, go through that for, you know, as long as I did because of the love that I have for other people. That's what I'm here for. I'm not here to change. You know, sometimes you start questioning like, man, people are doing me like this. I should do them like that. No, that's, you know, that's not
that
you.
That ain't the jam.
I mean, you got to save your soul. You feel me? Save your own soul. And that's what I always tell myself, bro. Like, save your own soul. You know what? You're here to love. You're here to care unconditionally. You're here to be there for those people. So just do that. That's what I'm here for, you know? And that's kind of where it comes from, man. So I'm really proud of this project, and I can't wait to get it out there, man.
Bro, you had me in goosebumps and in my feelings in that from like minute 28 until now, because I feel you. Like, I get it. It's like every position that we're in, even that we don't want to be in, this is what I'm here for, right? Because that moment right there is going to make you into a strong, for those of you listening, it's going to turn you into a stronger man, stronger woman, husband, wife, professional, artist, whatever it is. That moment is what you're here for. You would not be in that moment specifically if, in fact, the higher power didn't want you there, and or if you didn't attract it in some type of way. And people really have a hard time with that one. Everything that we have in our life, it is the sum of our thoughts, right? That have turned into our actions. And now here are the results, right? And I can remember back, and it wasn't too far long ago, man. 2023. I've said it multiple times on air. Maybe. I think I have. But I'm gonna say it again. Was the roughest year that I've had in a very long time. And I'm talking like financially, spiritually, physically. Like, I mean, physically, shit, dude, I got fat in 2023 and I'm trying to rebound, right? It's like, it's one of those things though, where I look at him like, okay, one thing at a time. Now in 2024, I have several opportunities now that where finances are no longer the issue. Right? I learned from what happened in 2023, and then I bet on myself in 2024. And since I did that, I'm being rewarded financially. So what I want the audience to really learn from what I'm saying right now and from what you have spoken about in your transition into No Breaks Records, right, is bet on yourself. You want to be blessed? Then throw it out there, right? Talk to the audience about how important it is in your mind, in your eyes, to bet on themselves instead of putting their fate in somebody else's hands.
Well, it's a quote that I love. It's that without being tested, you don't have a testimony. You know, so it's like, if you don't go through anything, you don't have anything. You know, like if you don't go through anything, how do you really enjoy the fruits of your labor? You know, you have to put in the work, and you have to, you know, go through these things, man. And I'm not going to lie to you, like, say, writing, I don't want to use the word writing somebody else's coattail, because that's not, for lack of better words, I'll say that, you know, like, say you ride somebody else's coattail all the way to the top, you get there, yay, we win. Mm-hmm. How do you really feel inside?
How do you feel? Unfulfilled, bro. You feel unfulfilled because you didn't earn it.
Unfulfilled. You didn't help do, you know, any other work. Go bet on yourself. Put the work in. Sweat the blood, the sweat, the tears. bet on yourself, put the work in, man, and you know you reap the benefits that way. And yeah, I hate the ride your coattail, because you know I don't necessarily believe. Feel me? I feel like there are certain moments when riding somebody's coattail will, you know, it works in your favor, you know, and I'm totally not against that. Mm-hmm. Feel me? But I feel like at some point, you know, you want to have the coattail. You feel me?
Yeah,
for other people.
Like, you want to have the table people want to sit at. Like that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the thing.
Exactly.
And dude, I think, you know, what you're talking about is there is a time to ride the coattail, but I think it's just a really, it's funny, like, cause we hear it all the time, but I think it's a nasty way of saying, like, put yourself in good collaborations.
Exactly.
The most fruitful, exactly. I mean, collaborations. I mean, look at all the artists. Look at all the artists, bro. What about, that Drake song that, oh my gosh, that had Eminem in it. Lil Wayne. What was that called?
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite songs. It wasn't because of Drake. It's the collaboration.
Yeah, it was the collaboration. Everybody had their own sauce and mixed it into the pot and made
so good. But so good. Yeah. So like they leveraged each other's audiences. And all these artists back in the day understood that, right? Doing the collabs. And then also doing the repurposing of old tracks. Like, exactly. You know, like the Vanilla Ice, Ice Baby. Everybody loved that.
Right.
Oh shit, this is Under Pressure. Oh my God, no, it's not. What is this? And then it brought the young generation, like, oh, this is Ice Baby. Wait, this isn't Ice Baby. This is Under Pressure. What came first? And now you have different exposures. Mm-hmm. Those things right there, collaborations are so important, right? And whatever you can do respectfully to leverage audiences and introduce new people to your audience, I mean, that's giving, man. That's, you know, I love that.
And I don't think there's a problem with that at all, you know.
Mm-mm.
And being able to, you know, count on yourself, it just gives you another sense of fulfillment, like, you know, personally.
Yeah.
Where you like, even because you're not always going to win, you know, you're going to fail a lot.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, just going through those failures, you know, like, without the sunshine, there's no rain. Without the rain, there's no sunshine. You know, like you need both. And I kind of feel like betting on yourself is just, you know, you just take everything. The wins, the losses, it's more fulfilling at the end of the day. You know, you win, you lose anyway. You might as well take them personally.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny because, like, you know, and then we'll land the plane here. Excuse me. I think it's, when people come up or want to come up, they want to skip the part where it hurts. They want to skip the blood, the sweat, the tears. They want to skip the rejection. They want to skip the people laughing at them. They want to skip the part where their own family don't believe in them. And, you know, because, you know, here's the reality, bro. Not everybody has a family like you. Like, not everybody's family supports them and listens to their stuff, you know, listens to their podcast, buys their book, you know, cheers them on. Like, I don't get that from the majority of my family, you know, maybe a few, you know, my mama, my Aunt Kay, my wife, right? But like, that's a thing, man. Like that, you can't skip that part.
You can't.
You know, that ties into what you're saying. You can't have.
Because I mean, that's kind of how you learn who should be there and who should, you know,
mm-hmm.
like you got your day ones, your day twos, and then your day threes, you know, yeah. Like, you got to know how to separate those. You feel me? Like the day threes are the people who you grow with.
Yeah.
You feel me? Those are the people who you realize, okay, I have a lot in common with this person because we're doing positive things together. We're growing together.
Yeah.
You know? And you know, like, you know, the day ones are the people who you were born around and that you can't really separate from.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? But now it's like, we don't fit together no more. So, you know, they're upset at you because they feel like, you know, but you create your own tribe.
You do. And it's funny. When you grow or ascend to a certain point, you start to offend people. Yeah. And I mean, you're going to lose people, man. In your homies that are still there, like my best friend, Quinn Stewart, still here to this day. Ryan Patterson, all my dudes that I played ball with at LSU, Justin Higgins from when I was a kid, you know, 11 years old, you know, I mean, I know they're never leaving, right? My guy, Dan Tuffer, I can, if I'm missing people that, and you guys are listening, I'm sorry. If you have to sit there and say, he didn't mention me, trust me, I'm thinking about you. I love you. Right. But for the sake of the show, you know, I can't keep naming people off. But like, those are the people when I'm the biggest sports media brand on the freaking planet, they're coming. Like, those are my people I'm bringing in to work with me, and they ain't ever got to worry about anything. Doesn't matter what the qualifications are. We're going to find something, right? You take care of your people. You know what I mean?
Always.
You got those Always. People. Yeah, that, you got them people.
That's one thing I stand on, man. If you were there from the beginning, man, there's no way I can enjoy. You know, I'm not sitting in first class if my brothers can't come with me.
Yeah, I'm not going to be sitting here, you know, as a big, huge sports journalist brand and not have my best friend Quinn Stewart sitting right next to me. There's no, there's no world that exists in. You know, to a point where I was sitting with one of my athletes this weekend. And we're having dinner. And he says to me, I had homework last night. I mentioned you in my paper. I said, what? I said, damn. I was like, what was it about? He's like, well, you know, coming from, you know, being an athlete, there's like certain brands that I would love to collab with. I'm like, oh, well, shoot, man. When it's time, you don't even have to ask. Like, that's my day one athlete. You know, he was my first athlete I started working with, and that's my guy. Like, if he needs something and I can provide it, I'm going to, right? But we have those people in our lives, right?
You know, and that's the thing. Like, it's the little things that I think we forget to really celebrate, bro. Like, you're changing the world. Like, the little things that, you know, like, I know how, like, that probably hits you when he said, you know, like, I got you in my paper, probably like, oh, wow, you know, it hit you like that. But that, yeah, bro, you're changing the world, like, little by little, you know, like, you, like, when I seen it, just the determined society, bro, I was so, like, it just fit hand in hand with, like, the message that's going on with this album. And the fact that, you know, I could collaborate with you on this podcast, bro, I'm like, you know, this is supposed to happen, though. So, once again, I appreciate you, bro. Like, I'm so glad that I could come and chop it up with you here, bro.
Well, dude, absolutely, man. And in future collabs coming, I want to be there. You know, I want to watch you perform in person. So we'll work that out too.
I think it's pretty rare, bro.
And, you know, but for the audience listening, I just want to encourage you to, you know, look at the show notes, find Crash's Instagram, follow him, his YouTube, subscribe to his channel, and look for all his drops and support him, because you do not find good people often enough to where you know that they have a true, authentic heart. And this man's one of them. He has that, or else he wouldn't be here sitting with me on such short notice. I see you, brother. I can see us becoming really good friends. And ladies and gentlemen, please, 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 once again, share this episode with somebody that you know, love, and trust, and tag us in social media. And I want you to remember one thing that Crash said, you know, and then as you move on into your day, just bet on yourself. Just whatever it is, know that where you're at, you're there for a reason, and bet on you and move forward so you can go win quicker. Crash, I appreciate you, bro, to the end of the world, man, and I cannot wait to see everything that you do in the future, buddy.
Thanks again, bro. I know we'll definitely have to do this again for sure.
You know it, bro. We know it.
Have you on my podcast next
time. Come on, man. I'm there, bro. I'm there. All right, guys. Well, hey, until next time, follow the show, share it, leave a written review, and until next time, be determined and go chase your dreams. Peace. Southwest Florida is one of the most beautiful places on the planet to live. For those of you that are thinking of moving from other states to come to Florida, or even just moving to a different part of the state, I want you to think of a big, beautiful, luxury home. Contact Legacy Luxury Builders. They are a family-owned and operated luxury residential construction company. As a family-owned business, they believe in the power of building not just homes, but legacies. Contact Legacy Luxury Builders. The nightmare of feeling like you'll never measure up, of constant second guessing and self-doubt. It eats away at you and destroys your confidence. I've been there too, feeling like I didn't belong on the field with my teammates, but it doesn't have to stay that way. I used to compare myself to everyone around me. I thought that no matter how hard I worked, I'd never be as good as the other guys. It killed my self-belief. I now help athletes develop an elite mindset so comparison no longer controls them. We teach techniques to cut out the negative self-talk and unlock their full potential. Imagine stepping into the box when it counts the most and feeling totally confident in your ability. Feeling invincible instead of insecure, ready to seize the opportunity instead of shrinking from it. That's the mindset I help athletes develop. Don't waste another minute on comparison and self-doubt. Take control of your mindset and become the confident, unstoppable competitor you were meant to be. DM or comment below to get started with Edge and transform your mental game.